Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Reach the Peak podcast. I'm your host, Quinn Lovett, also known as Bashno. And today I'm joined by Jarvis. Hi.
How's it going?
Not bad. So I guess to start off, we usually go, who are you? Where are you from? And like, what are you known for in the community?
Yeah, sure. So I am from the States. I typically go by Jarvis in my community, but my online persona has shifted over time towards that. Originally, I was known as Jerry Dactyl. That is a name that is derived from my real name, Jerry. So it really doesn't matter what people call me. Generally, in that range of things, I will respond to any of those. So that's how I've been known. What I'm known for, probably co-creating challenge enthusiasts, and being what I consider the product owner and lead product designer for CE over the past, 6-7 years.
Yeah. Nice. You know, I guess let's talk about challenge enthusiasts for a little bit to start with.
Sure. Cause
people might not know what it is or might be interested, but, do you want to give like a rundown on what CE is?
Yeah, so I basically just describe it as a database of video game challenges. That is what it is in its most pure form. There's some nuance there because a lot of community members will take from it what they consider the most important, which could be the community. CE is a big community. It's not just a database. It's not just a website. People find the competitive aspect of some of it to be the most enticing. We have, in this database, we have games organized by their difficulty score, effectively, separated by tier, where tier one would be the easiest and goes all the way up to tier 7, which would be the hardest. Mm-hmm. And in those tiers, the games are also categorized by the kind of overarching genre that it might be a part of. So platformers are kind of all grouped together loosely, and bullet hells are kind of in their own little thing. So
yeah.
Some people like to climb the bullet hell leaderboards, and some people, like myself, I'm a platformer main, I would say.
Yeah, I play platformers mainly.
Yeah. I like to keep it simple. Platformers, everyone has like their different reasons for, you know, why they're drawn to specific games, but I've always felt like developing a particular skill set in a confined set of physics and then getting better at that and more familiar with the environment was always really satisfying. So I like the simplicity and the feel of platformers. But, you know, we have 6 categories: strategy, first person, arcade, action, platformer, and bullet hell. So it's kind of got a little bit of something for everyone, and some people just like to climb the bullet hell leaderboards or strategy or whatever it is. So there's a lot of different aspects to CE. It's
it's very like customizable of like your experience.
Yeah
Nice.
And if you don't really care about the leaderboards, then you can use it as your own kind of like personal challenge tracker. And that's it's kind of how it started. And I would say that CE at the moment is not feature complete. So there are some things that we're still working on trying to get implemented. You know, when it eventually gets there, then I think it really will kind of be a little bit of, you know, everything for anyone.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think it's a cool site, like label tracker. I think that's such a cool idea and a fun idea for like the community. It's just I guess also like on your end, how did you get into like this type of gaming and like working on CE? Like, how did you get into this whole thing in the first place?
So the origins of CE are really turbulent, and honestly my relationship with CE has been even more so. It's hard to say like what initially got me interested in challenging games at all. I think way back in like 2017, I want to say, I was starting to do streaming as a hobby. And I was doing a little bit of YouTube content as a hobby as well. And I think Cuphead or something was came out around that time. And
yeah, I think
so. I kind of took the initiative to try and make like a Cuphead achievement guide or something. Nice. And like around that time, I think I'd also recently had completed Dark Souls 3, Ori and the Blind Forest, and a game called Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes. And I did all of those within the context of getting all of the achievements for them. I was kind of going through a phase of Steam achievement hunting back in 2017.
Yeah, I had that phase at some point as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so each of those games, I think I'm pretty, yeah, I think all of them are on CE now, but for one thing or another. I felt like the aspect of achievement hunting that I originally got into it for, which was to feel fulfilled for having done something that I thought was difficult, like engaging with a struggle and then overcoming it and then kind of getting that experience out of it at the end. That was the thing about achievement hunting that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, it feels nice knowing that like you've done everything, you know?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think I joined a group, 100 Pals, around the same time, and it was mostly an achievement hunting group. And I think that was like the start of the downfall of my achievement hunting stint, because I realized that the meta was actually centered around nothing that had to do with challenges or achievements. Like, it's in the name. It was
just getting achievements.
People were grinding out.
Yeah.
People were grinding out like achievement spam games and asset flips, and it felt like the thing that interested me the most about it just wasn't really there.
I like the achievements, but I also want like some sense of being proud that I did it.
Yeah, some resistance is nice.
Yeah. Right?
I think around the time that I was in 100 Pals, there was a name that had gotten floated around as kind of like being this antagonist of the community in some sense, this guy named Jorge Risto. And I had actually encountered him in a Steam forum, I think, for Cuphead on like one or two separate occasions. So I did recognize him, and I don't think I remember him being like this villain or anything, but the way that he was talked about back then made him seem like it. I think that was like one of those things where it was like, you know, it piqued my interest enough to like look into it a little bit. So I figured out that he ran a group. I think it was called like 0.1% at that time. I went to his profile, I saw the group, and then I added him, I think, and then I DM'd him about it. This is like 6 or 7 years ago now, so my recollection of these events are going to be a little shaky, but I feel like I remember him saying that I wasn't going to be able to join his group until I had beaten Super Meat Boy. I think that was the criteria for joining.
Damn.
And they had this kind of rudimentary like challenge tracking system. And I was really interested because it was basically just achievement hunting, but it was only the really hard games. And it was on Steam.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, wow, this is basically what I was looking for. So I ended up joining the group, I think, as like just a chatter or something while I worked on this game called Hopico, which is this kind of like top-down platformer type arcade game.
Okay.
Super fun game. And I think I cleared Hopico and a few other like minor games, and I was working on Super Meat Boy, and I got like most of the way through it, and then I got like formally invited to the group. Most of the people that were instrumental in shaping CE came from that group, 0.1. I think I was in that group for about 8 months. And the villain that 100 Pals made Jorge Risto out to be turned out to be the villain that they made him out to be. He was just kind of He was super bigoted. My SO is gender nonconforming, and I've been with them for 10 years now. And there was like only so much that I was like kind of like willing to take with respect to how he spoke about people publicly. I mean, it was private server, so it wasn't really publicly, but he just generally wasn't really a good person. But that wasn't like the precursor to CE necessarily. It was that he created enough of a rift between me and him, even if he wasn't doing it directly, that I was more willing to speak out about things in the group at the time I thought were, you know, nonsensical with the way that they were running things. So I think had he just never been like that, CE never would have existed, because I don't think that initial rift would have ever formed.
Damn.
But
CE exists because of bigotry.
I've never thought of it that way, but you might be right.
This is a joke, guys. I will say CE is not bigoted, all right?
Darksiders 3 was this game that was being talked about, added to their system. So they have like a way back then they had a like 3 or 4 tier system, I don't remember, for ranking video game challenges, and it was pretty much exclusively Steam achievements. It wasn't like you know, and I'll get into this a little bit later about how CE exactly structures its objective system, but back then 0.1 was using Steam achievements, and you had to get all of the achievements to be rewarded the points basically in their system. So
yeah,
if there was a game that was really hard but it had something grindy in it or whatever else that made it unappealing for someone who just wanted to engage with the challenging bits, then you know, tough luck, you kind of had to just deal with whatever the game shot at you. But so there were some cases where games were not added to their system, and Darksiders 3 was one at the time that I remember being kind of like the one where I started to like look at their system differently.
I
don't remember exactly what it was back then, but for one reason or another, the Jorgeristo, the group leader, had admitted that the game would have been hard enough, but then he chose not to add it for X, Y, or Z reason. It might have even just been because he didn't like the game. Fast forward some time, and there was another game that was added to the system. It was this game called Deep Space Platformer, and for some veterans in CE, if they listen to this, they're going to, this is going to be a really long callback, but basically it was this game that was total trash. It was not a good game, and it got added to their system for, I think, like just getting to the end of like the one level that existed. It's like this almost like a Jetpack Joyride-esque game, jetpack. You had a gun and you like just went through waves and waves of enemies, and eventually you got to the end or something. So Jorgeristo added this as a tier 5. At that time, it was their highest classification for a game. And he said that there was a cheese in the game that made it trivial, but he wouldn't remove it from the site. And he wouldn't tell anybody what cheese was. He said he wanted to keep it on the site for being a reward for people who had game sense. So I was intrigued by it. And I ended up buying the game, and I played around with it for like an hour and a half. And I realized it's a game that you play on like the keyboard, standard platformer. I realized that if you just take your mouse and you click the character and you just drag the character, he's invincible and you can just drag him to the end of the game. Right. So it's just a total exploit that got around anything in the game that was like remotely challenging. And I ended up discovering it. I think I did it in like 2 hours or something. And I posted a screenshot of me having beaten the game or something in 2 hours. And this was in their system. I had beaten a game in 2 hours that was supposed to be like the hardest in the hardest classification of games. And I think Jorgeristo said, and again, it's been 6 years, and I don't want to like paint him any worse than I probably could, but said something along the lines of like, I can choose to keep the game a tier 5 or I can spoil it for everybody. And I think as soon as he said that, I immediately just told everyone what the cheese was.
Yeah.
Like, because in my mind, Yeah, from my perspective, I didn't think that the game deserved to be in their system. It wasn't actually challenging. It was just whether or not you figured out this like one minor thing that totally broke the entire game.
Yeah.
And that's where I started to kind of like really like truly appreciate the difference of perspective in how the system like that should be run. But that game ended up getting removed because I kind of like spilled the beans, so to speak. I want to say like a month, I don't know, something like that. A month went by and I think like Devil May Cry 5 or something was up for discussion. And Jorge Risto was talking about adding it to the site, and I think it may have even been added. I can't remember, but he was complaining about the game having too many cutscenes or something. And the game otherwise would have been hard enough.
What?
But he felt like the game had too many cutscenes, and then that was enough of a reason not to add it.
Doesn't really make any sense. It's a cutscene. It's not the gameplay.
Yeah, and I think I like called him out like immediately in chat, and I can't remember what I said, but he had a bit of a crash out over it, and he said something along the lines of like, no one really knows how to run a system like this, and or like insinuating that he was the only one who could like make these types of decisions.
Yeah. You're like, I'll do it. I'll do it.
I sarcastically said something along the lines of like, are you ? And I think within seconds I saw the server disappear from my Discord.
So
I had been kicked.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, around that time I had been working on this game called Cloudberry Kingdom. It kind of gained some notoriety in the group at the time for being this like kind of trash pile that no one really wanted to engage with. I'm not sure if you've seen the game or not, but I've
probably seen it somewhere.
It's a platformer, and it's got 300. Go ahead.
If it's a platformer, I've probably seen it, like around. You know what I mean? Like I've probably seen people play it. I just haven't personally played it.
In CE, it's pretty infamous, but I would say like people who. Like I don't think anyone in the Celeste community really, it's not on their radar or anything. So like, it's a pretty underground type of platformer, but,
I'm friends with a lot of Celeste players evidently, but I don't play Celeste. not in like,
gotcha.
Not in like 4 or 5 years. Like, not probably.
Yeah. So, I think I'd been working on this game for like 3 months by the time that I got kicked from 0.1, but, It was pretty well known back in the community at that time. I think by the time that I ended up beating it, it had been 6 years since the game came out for the first completion. But when I ended up beating it, so I'm trying to get my timeline straight. I think it was around early 2018 that I got, or maybe late 2018 that I got kicked from 0.1, because I beat CK in. I want to say like June or July of 2019. And I think around that time, it had been like quite a few months had passed since I'd been kicked from 0.1. I had beaten the game, and their rule set in that group was that they can't add a game to their system unless someone in the group had beaten it. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of using one of my friends, Mega Rider, as a liaison to Jorge Risto to say like, I apologize. I was actually trying to apologize to Jorge Risto at the time, for just kind of like being a dick, so that I could rejoin the group and get this game added, because I felt like, someone went through all this effort to get this game beaten. And I really only started playing the game so that it could get added to their system. And I think he just outright like declined my apology or something.
Oh, damn.
And I said, okay. So I've done this thing and I can't rejoin 0.1. So
yeah,
I'll just make my own group. And
Hell
that's
yes.
kind of what happened. So Spins was also in 0.1 at the time, and he kind of disagreed with the way that Jorjuristo was running things, recognizing the bigotry, et cetera, just the general kind of like attitude that he had towards other people. There was also like a large aura of elitism that kind of emanated from that group, not least in just the way that the group was named, 0.1, as kind of like being a reference to, being some elite set of gamers or something. I think Jorjuristo used to go onto to people's profiles and ask them if they wanted to join like an elite group of gaming warlords. That is, quote,
I
is
would
like
have
the
joined.
cringiest thing ever.
Nah, fucking, I'm in. Group of gaming warlords. Like, that's the shit that gets me. I'm like, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah,
It's a bit
I kind of
cringy though.
I tested the waters a little bit with like some of the people that were in the group, and I was like, what if we just did things differently? And like, what if it was just an open community? Like, you didn't really need
You
to
could just
demonstrate that
join.
you could beat hard games. You could just join and hang out. A lot of people liked the idea. And clearly there were like enough flaws with the system that I felt like I could change enough so that it was a novel thing, kind of in its own sense. And admittedly, we did adopt a lot of core ideas like assigning a point value to games and putting them in tiers. But beyond that, CE kind of carved its own path from there in almost every way. So I think 2 months went by after my CK clear, so somewhere around there. And I had done enough drafting of kind of some foundational systems for the group that I think we had enough at that point, and I had enough people who were interested. At that point, it wasn't a lot, but in October or something of 2019, we started the Discord, and we had maybe a dozen people, and it just kind of it took off from there, and now CE is what it is.
So yeah, this I'm kind of in the same realm as like that feeling, because there's this New Zealand speedrunning Discord, right? Like, there's a New Zealand speedrunning challenge gaming Discord, and it was made because like I was always in the Oz like speedruns Discord. I was sitting here going like, well, I'm never gonna get to go to Oz. Fuck that. I'm just gonna make my own. So me and a friend made it, and it's got like 20 something members now. And it's like, fuck, there's more people in New Zealand than I thought there was gonna be. Like,
Yeah, and
it's
these
just,
things, if you had asked me back then, like if I thought that it would get this big, I would have said no, for sure. I mean, realistically, what I thought was going to happen was, in my mind, I would get enough people to express interest in an alternative system that could work. And we would go for a little while. We would mature the systems a little bit, get feedback on things that, don't work or whatever. And at some point, Jorjuristo would catch wind of it, and then there would be like a real discussion into the way that he behaves, the way he talks about others, and maybe even the way that the system operates. Because all I had to do was demonstrate kind of like a proof of concept. And that an alternative system could work and get enough people interested, and it could go from there. I wasn't intending for there to be like this kind of rift between the groups. I think sometime around like March of 2020 or something, it was probably even earlier than that, honestly, maybe January. Only a few months went by, and then he ended up finding out. And I think the initial reaction to it was basically like, you can't be in one or the other. So I think he made like an open call to everyone in his group to like choose which group to be in, basically. And obviously that
Everyone
didn't
left.
go well. Like,
Everyone left him and
some people did leave, but really what happened is that people convinced him that that was just ridiculous
That's
to
just
try
silly.
and assert on people. I think at that point in time, 0.1 only had like 80 people, and I think CE had like 35 or something. So it was very few. But, a little bit of time passed and there was enough kind of drama happening between the groups that I was like, this isn't really going the way that I expect. And it really just looks like we're going to be at odds with each other forever.
Even though
CE kind of was meant to fit into a different kind of paradigm, being more open, being more methodical, more serious. It really felt like it was just like a shit slinging thing between both groups. So I won't go into like the specifics of like personal conversations that I had with people back then, but I had kind of like a mental collapse around, I don't know, March of 2020. And there was obviously things going on with COVID around that time that,
Well, 2020 wasn't good for anyone.
It was a difficult year to deal with, I ended up leaving CE in March, and I was just like, you know, I didn't sign up to have to deal with all of this headache. I just kind of wanted to, like, all of this was just to get a single game added to their system, which is just Cloudberry Kingdom. And, you know, it felt like it was gonna, I didn't want to constantly be warring for, like, some early foothold in a niche market that was a niche of niche. So I just kind of like left. Like, my mental health was, it meant more to me at the time. And
which I think
I was going through.
Mental health has always means more. Like, games and everything, if you're not doing well mentally, take a break. Like,
yeah.
No one's going to blame you for having to, like, sort out life problems first. Like, you know, there are more important things than playing video games.
I was going through a graduate program too at the time, and I was just like, there's so much that I have that I'm like dealing with, like this group of 35 people and this like kind of like half-baked idea for a system is not worth my energy. So I ended up leaving, but I did still talk to a few of the people that I had met. I kept pretty much in close contact with Mega throughout that whole period that I was gone. But I think it was December of 2020. I found out that Jorgeristo had actually been exiled from his own community. 0.1.
Damn.
I actually don't even remember why. But
it's always like I hear people. It's like I got kicked out of my own Discord. I'm like, that's rough, buddy. It's like that's rough. What did you do?
If there's going to be a wake-up call, I feel like it has to be that.
It's like, I've heard about it happening to a few people. I'm just like, how did that happen? Like, what did you do, man? It's just like, man, I feel like that happens. You have to, like, look at yourself for, like, a long time, you know? You're just like, crap.
Yeah, I don't think before me, really, there was, like... Well, actually, that's not true, because obviously other communities already kind of were vilifying him. I'd heard some of it in 100 Pals, and I think around the time that I was gone, this was when Fireborn made his video about Jorgeristo. I think I could be getting the timeline wrong, but there was a relatively popular YouTuber that made this like hit piece on Jorgeristo at the time. So it was just, it was kind of a lot going on, but he ended up getting kind of like booted from his own community, and then I sat on that thought for a little while, and I think I felt like a big burst of motivation to try and come back and make it so that the communities could be merged and then us work on just like a better challenge tracking system together. So I did. I returned to the Discord. I returned to CE. I kind of abruptly left Spins with the Discord. To be honest, I did not handle me leaving the first time like all that well. It was really a spontaneous leaving.
It was rushed. You didn't like plan it, your kind of thing.
Yeah, it was. To be honest with you, I think I was like studying for an exam or something at that. Like the day that I left, I was like studying and I was like getting pings that were like had to do with drama between the two groups back in.
You're like, fuck, I need to just study. Like.
Yeah, I was like, I can't. I can't deal with any of this. So I came back like 8 months later or something. So this is like January 2021, maybe. And I think I tried to rally the mods from 0.1 at the time to consider kind of merging the systems.
Yeah.
I think at that time, yeah, so I'll have to back up a little bit. Before I left on my break, I had met this person named Laura through Steam. I think it was through Devil Daggers. And
Devil Daggers is a
we were
great
to
game. I love
yeah
Devil Daggers. Sorry.
we were running everything in CE out of Google Sheets for like its first 3 months, and that was a nightmare. We had our leaderboards there, we had all the games that we were tracking there, everything. It was a massive pain in the ass. And Laura ended up joining the group, and she was a professional web developer, and her and I were talking,
I
and she
see.
was like, she basically offered to kind of throw something together for us. I think her and I sat down for 3 or 4 days just kind of hammering out all of the different like preliminary things for the site. And she did really well. I mean, in basically 1 work week, she got the site has not changed that much since it was initially made
Oh, really?
in 2020. There have been a few features that have been added to it, but she pretty much did like all of it in like 4 or 5 days.
That's wild.
And
Holy.
yeah, so pretty insane. And I think once we had a website, that's when it like hit me that like this is real. You know what I mean? Like we weren't using Sheets anymore. Now we had kind of like a footing in something that
Like
mattered.
something proper, like a official kind of,
Right. And it
format,
wasn't like, it's not the most glamorous website ever, but it, did what it was supposed to do.
It's
And
something. It's a website that exists,
yeah.
you know. It's
Right.
like
And I was pretty happy with it. But yeah, I mean, I did leave for a while, and I left it to Spins. And in my mind, it was like, this system doesn't really need me. Like, I kind of laid the groundwork with Spins.
you did your
Right.
work, but
I felt like they can handle it from here. But after I had been gone for a long time, there wasn't really much that had changed. I think even though anyone else really could have led the group, it was mostly a matter of motivation and being willing to put in the effort.
Like the passion for it.
So, right. And I think that was, I think by the time that I came back, CE had actually lost people. Like the member count had declined over the 8 months that I was gone.
Damn.
So I came back basically to just try and convince 0.1 to like reform their system with some of the changes that I had made for CE. I was at that point basically willing to kind of like give up CE as its own entity and just move forward with 0.1 doing their thing. And I wasn't, intending to be in a position of leadership or anything like that. I just wanted to see something that worked kind of move forward.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think the people in 0.1 at the time, having recently lost Tohristo, booting him out, they kind of felt like their own surge of motivation to kind of move things forward in, the way that they saw fit. So there wasn't really like a desire to try and radicalize too much. They were gonna fix a couple of things that they thought were a problem and then just move forward in their own way. And that's kind of what has happened. 0.1 doesn't exist anymore, but now they're called masochist.me. They have their own
Oh,
website.
is that masochist on me?
Yep.
I see.
Yep. So they're so I would say that 0.1 gave birth to two groups,
Yeah,
masochist.me and challenge enthusiasts.
I
Masochist
didn't realize
is
masochist me was a former group. Oh, interesting.
Yep. So masochist is really kind of like the torch being carried system-wise from 0.1 to kind of a more modern era. And CE is what happens when you try and build from the ground up with like a few preliminary concepts. And I would say that CE does in, it acts as a database, and it is a larger community. And Masochist has its role as a curator, effectively. They are a lot more strict on the type of games that they add to their system. And they have higher standards for those types of games.
I see.
And that appeals to a different type of person. And they are at their core a lot more of an achievement hunting group. And CE is at its core a lot more of an
Like challenge achievement kind of group.
Is that, yes, so, yeah. Achievements are like a really important aspect of the group because that is the right. It is the most streamlined medium in which a developer can express like an intended challenge to a player through an achievement. Right. It's a very concise, neatly packaged
like
challenge.
Do this thing in the game, and you'll get a little badge. There you go.
Right. But yeah. CE is always kind of, I think from day one, we basically said that we don't care about getting all achievements in the game.
Okay.
And that has still been a big discrepancy point between the two systems. If you take the curation side out of it, CE cares a lot more about just getting to the meat of the challenge. So
yeah,
we don't care what achievements you get in the game, as long as it's just these specific ones that are the most difficult.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we use, they use a completion model. So mm-hmm. you complete the game, you get the points. We use an objective based model. So we structure unique objectives for a game and we separate them out based on whatever criteria makes sense. So we might put, let's say you have a game that has a bunch of, achievements for beating chapters in under a certain amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it also has one objective for beating the game entirely without dying. We'll separate those into two completely different objectives and they'll both have their own point value. So it's a lot more nuanced.
They're different skills as well. Like speed running, a lot of people
there's different skills. Games like, some people don't even want to go for the, like YOLOs are, I have a kind of a love hate relationship with them. I'm one of the few people in CE that tends to like YOLOs over speedrunning, but I know some people who, you know, they're not going to do YOLOs at all, but they will go and get the lower point objectives for the speedrunning.
My growing up playing games, I grew up doing speedrunning, but I'm very like speedrunner mindset on a lot of things, you know? And then when I started doing like deathless challenges, I had to like reel back some of the strats because I was like, that's just not worth going, you know? I was still in the headspace of, like, I want to do it fast. But then it's, like, it's just a different kind of way to play the game. And it was, like, you have to be a bit more careful. You know what I mean? Like,
I kind of came mindset. From a background of achievement hunting. Like, the Xbox 360 era achievements was... I'm a little bit older. I'm 33. So, like, I was in high school when, like, Xbox achievement hunting was big. And that's kind of the realm that I came out of, so kind of already like an intrinsic challenge hunting type of aspect.
That's fair. See, the first how I got into gaming, like my first game was Super Meat Boy, which ever. Is funny. It was a choice to pick that one up first, but and then I like played it and I couldn't beat it, obviously. I was like a fucking kid. And then later on, I finished it and was like, I wonder if you can like be a professional. Like, it sounds silly saying it now. But I go, I wonder if you can be a professional like Meat Boy run, like player or whatever. And I ended up finding Vorpal's world record at the time for 80%. And it was just like, it just clicked. That's it, you know? I thought it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. I was like, I need to do that. Like, you know?
Yeah, definitely aspects to speedrunning that I appreciate. I think a little bit less willing to like take one game and sit with it for like longer than I need to, and I think speedrunning is so open-ended that
I like hyper-fixate on games. Like, I just, you know,
I think my almost like perfectionist mindset for things would just like really get in my way and I would just be stuck on the same game for too long. I would probably be resetting runs like at the first frame where something went wrong.
I used to be in that mindset, and then I was like, well, I'm never going to finish a run like this. I just need to finish a run. And then I would just finish a run, and if it was a trash run, it was like, well, it's okay. We'll just go again. You know? Like... Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird niche, really, thinking about it.
I don't think it's really all that different from challenge hunting in a way. Like, obviously, speedrunning demands, like, a particular type of mental state. You need to be willing to put in the time, get really good, grind out in whatever practice method you find most suitable for you, and then be willing to commit to runs until you succeed or move on. And it's not really that different from, let's say, like a big deathless run that you might do. They're pretty similar.
But yeah, it's always funny when people find my first games I ever played were Super Meat Boy and then Aliens vs. Predator 2010.
You're quite different.
Yeah. And then I was playing it, and my cousin's like, hey, look at this game. And I started playing TF2. But then
I've had a hard time remembering what my first game was.
I think it's just because it's such a weird first game. I just will always remember it. And it's because that's why I speedrun, you know? It's kind of always just, it's just been there, you know? And I
want to say it was Sonic.
Oh, yeah. The reason I started playing it is, you know, those like kids react kind of videos? Years ago. I watched one. Kids react to the 10 hardest games or whatever. And it had like Meat Boy at 4 or whatever. And I remember watching it being like, that doesn't look that bad. I could do that. So I bought the game. And yeah, the rest is just what it is. But I remember seeing, I'm like, that cannot be the 4th hardest game. That's bullshit. I'm going to play it. I'm going to prove them wrong.
That's like CE. The 4th hardest game on CE is like the most unassuming thing you can imagine.
Yeah. It was like, I watched, I'm like, that can't be correct. Like, I don't think it is. I think they were way off with that one. But even at the time, I doubt Meat Boy would have been top 4. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this was, what, like 2012? It wouldn't have been near the top 10. Like, I don't know.
I think Meat Boy is not even in the top 100 hardest games. No. I'm pretty sure.
No, it wouldn't be. I don't, like...
And especially not to just beat.
No. So I was just like, that cannot be true. I'm going to play this game to prove them wrong. Not that I had anyone to prove it to. I just wanted to myself, you know?
Games lists have always been ridiculous.
Yeah, I knew in my heart, I watched, I was like, that cannot be correct. Fuck that. But yeah, no.
But that's an aspect of like challenging games that I have grown to appreciate over the years as well. It's like, starting with Cloudberry Kingdom, really, this game that had this like reputation of being like not reasonable, or you know, people used to throw around the word impossible, like people do that nowadays too with Geometry Dash levels or whatever, and then you give it 3 months and someone's beaten it. But that notion of like, there's this thing that's really difficult, and then someone does it, and you open the door to other people then going and doing it. And I felt, you know, really proud of the fact that I was the first person to beat that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't really know what to expect about people that would come after beating it. But I think it's been beaten now by like 15 people and or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never would have imagined that. It's like just back weird when to see I was it playing it because it was that hard.
It's like Farewell Gold. There's like 1,000 people with it now or something. Yeah. And I was just like, that's insane. Like, that just is wild to me, you know? It's like, it's cool to see so many people, like, got it, but it's just like, I never thought it would be that high, you know what I mean?
Where it's I didn't know it was 1,000, but that, I think we might have to lower the value of that on C.
Yeah, I think it literally just hit 1,000. Let me check. I can check this without ruining the OBS. Yes. Okay. Let's see. Let me just go to like the leaderboard list. I think, you know Reinhardt?
Yep.
Yeah. I think he was saying the other day that there's 1,000 now. So, yeah. Wild.
That totally makes sense that you two know each other.
Yeah. We co-founded the Speedrun Discord.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
They've been in CE a while.
Yeah. We started the NZ community thing like 2023. My internet load, holy. Okay, I guess it's not around. Okay, yeah, but he said it was Faustin. I'm inclined to believe him.
He's yeah, that's more... it's somehow both surprising and not like it, yeah, because yeah. I know how hard it's a super hard thing to do, but yet there's been 1,000 people that have done it. But
yeah, but still, it's just like wow, it just how big this Slice community is, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure, and also like this idea that I think I deal with this a lot with new people that kind of come into CE is that they'll see these games that are like super high tier 5, 6, 7, whatever it is.
Mm.
And they'll see Dark Souls as like a tier 1 and, you know, they'll have beaten Dark Souls and they'll probably think like, you know, that was really hard. A tier 7 must be like unimaginably difficult, but it's really not as bad as people think. I think with the exception of like,
I think like with games, it's weird because like on difficulty, it's like if you put in the amount of time and like to learn it and get good, a hard game, like you watch the speedruns of like the hardest games, it becomes easier. Like it becomes pretty trivial, you know what I mean? Just because you put so much time and effort into it. So it kind of like the challenge kind of becomes less daunting when you're so familiar with the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's with the exception of maybe like 2 or 3 games on CE, I genuinely think that virtually anyone in CE could beat virtually any game. It's just a matter of being willing to put in the hours.
Yeah, that's literally it. Like with games, it's like people, like my main game is The Ender's Nigh, right? That's what I play. I've worked with Enox on it for a long time, like the max percent run, and playing. Mm-hmm. And people like my friends, like, how do you get so? It's like, just fucking play the level like 100 times in a row, you know?
It's one of my favorite platformers. I love that game.
Yeah, it's like just play the fucking game like on loop. Like there you go, you'll get consistent at things. Like, you know? Nah, it's a great game. It's kind of like, it's pretty well like popular in CE, right? I feel like the game.
Yeah, it's one of the more popular ones.
Yeah, I feel like it's popular in CE, and then every other place I'm in, that like it's not that popular.
it looks like there's somewhere around 30 completions of the game, so it's a lot more than I was expecting. But yeah.
Nah, it's like just that thing with all games. So it's like you just put in the time and effort, and it just clicks. You know, like just takes practice. I guess.
Yeah.
On another note, you mentioned, like, we've talked about platformers. Why do you personally, why are you so drawn to, like, platformers? Like, why do you like platformers? Is there a reason?
Yeah, I mean, it's the simplicity and the speed at which you can get comfortable moving through the game is, like, I know people feel this with first-person games as well, like, first person movement games, like Source Engine type games or first person shooters or whatever else. It just feels good to like get good enough to move around and aim well and just generally play well.
Yeah.
And I think platformers are structured in a way that you can get to a relative point of mastery fairly quickly. And that tends to feel pretty good just only because of the fact that they are so simplistic in design. And so I tend to prefer games that, you know, they have a fairly small learning curve. Dust Force, for example, is a game that I don't like that much. It's a very popular platformer in CE, but the movement mechanics for it are complicated.
I haven't played it. I was like, it's one of those games where it's like, I will play it at some point, but I haven't got around to it.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the way that I feel. I'm also somebody who like really enjoys... monotonous practice, I would say. I have pretty complicated practice systems that I use for YOLOs, and probably one of the reasons that I'm a little bit more willing to engage with YOLOs
after
than other people in the Discord.
I'll show you my list of max percent Ender's Nigh practice. I have a printed sheet of like stuff to do for it.
I use Google Sheets for just about everything. So I think I just enjoy practice more than like anything else. So platformers also, you know, discretize their games pretty well with checkpoints that you can teleport to and practice in chunks, and you get to string it all together, and combining that with like you know, quick mastery of the physics, and it just works out to be a pretty enjoyable experience overall, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair. Cool.
The End is Nigh in particular, like being a game where movement in the game is so simple and the levels are quick to, like, once you've seen the strategy for a level, it goes from being this thing that you just died 20 times on to, I can't imagine ever dying on this again.
Type of thing.
So,
and also, like, with the End is Nigh, like, I feel like that's so, like, I feel like it plays super well. We're like, when you're playing, you always feel like you're in control of, like, the situation, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a point where I'm playing and I'm like, oh, no, I don't, like, I feel uncontrollable. Ash is pretty, like, snappy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'll let go and he'll stop. And you jump and he'll jump exactly the height you want him to every single time. It's, like, that kind of thing where I feel like the levels can be more, not, like, difficult's not the right word. They can be more, like, precise just due to how, like, tight the movement is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you'll get a game like Meat Boy, and the levels are very spacey. Like, he's so floaty and, like, slippery where the levels are hard, right? But they have to work with a lot more, like, speed and movement than The End is Nigh does. And it's, like, that kind of thing where I think it's just, like, they're all unique in their own way. Like, I don't think a platformer really is, like, comparable to any other platformer a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Because they all just have their own...
Yeah, I've gotten to these kinds of arguments with people that... I don't know. I could go on forever about this, but I'm skeptical at, like...
You disagree?
There being this, like, strong... platformer skill transfer between games. I think it is a lot more complicated than that.
You have to learn every platformer I play. Like, you just have to learn how it feels and controls and all that.
It's the same way for me.
I feel like
I've not gone into a new platformer and, like, just super well immediately.
I think people, it's like, oh, I just use my skills from the other. It's like, I guess that's more so for, like, you could probably have that argument more for, like, first person shooters. Yeah. Because of aim and transfer and stuff. But with platformers, it's like they all control, like, their own thing. And it takes time to, like... Say I do Meat Boy runs for, like, you know, how much... Like, when I used to do it a lot more, I'd run and then I'd come back to play The End is Nigh after, like, months of not playing. And it would feel weird. Like, I've played this game so many times, right? Like, I know how to play the game. But it would take me a bit of time to, like, click into Ash's movement instead of Meat Boy's. If that would make sense. Because I'm, like, feeling how Meat Boy would control. And then I play with Ash. And I'm like, I feel slightly uncomfortable to start with. But then I get into the groove of it. So I don't think it's like, yeah, I think I agree with you.
Sure.
Where, like, you can't just, it doesn't just transfer. Especially, like, yeah.
Come to CE and make this argument for me. I will die on that hill.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. I think, like, sure, there might be, like, bits that transfer, but not, like, control, like, not movement and stuff. I feel like
that's everything that defines a platformer is the environment and the physics.
Yeah.
Right? It's memorizing the environment itself,
I think,
getting used to the particular strats for levels, and becoming familiar with the physics.
I think you can make an argument for, like, if you've played a lot of platformers, getting used to the movement quicker. But I don't think...
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't think, like, you can just instantly pick it up. Like, I would disagree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think that's unique to platformers. Right? Like, if you're good at picking up physics quickly, then that doesn't just apply to platformers.
That's why
I think there's not... There's a skill that you earn in platformers that's unique to platformers and only transfer.
I love, like, Source. I like a lot of Source games because, like, the movement is just fun to learn and, like... practice, and yeah, I see what you mean with that. That's fair. Yeah, I'll make this argument for you. Sure.
Sweet. Why aren't you in CE, by the way?
I'm in the Discord. I just don't really, like, hang around a lot.
Mainly because I've seen one of my crash outs.
No. I think I literally go on the platformer chat, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And announcements.
You're safe there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would go on it more. I'm just busy. And also, like, I feel like realistically, I play four games. Like, I play four fucking games, and that's it. Like, so I don't know if I'd be really doing much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think CE is like this really good middle ground between people who enjoy variety and people who want to get like meaningful experiences out of their games.
Yeah. I
People who get
mean,
like really
I joined the voice chat like sure, like once a month. Like I'm in there like occasionally, you know. I do like chat every now and then. But
Yeah, so I guess but it's not enough for me to have not known that you were in the disc, like clearly, because I thought that you weren't,
no, I
so
mean, yeah, I
you...
it's not I mean I should probably talk more, but I'm usually in other calls, unfortunately.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I could join more. I mean, I have no issue. Like, I've been in the Discord for like a while, I think. I can't remember when I joined.
Well, you hang around the voice chat there, you'll get run off real quick.
Yeah. I mean, nah, it's also like I struggle because, you know, I have autism and I struggle and like I struggle with more than like four people in a voice chat. You know?
Yeah, it gets crazy over there
Yeah,
sometimes,
you
for
put
sure.
more than like three or four people, I just completely lose where I am in the conversation. So it's kind of like there's usually like heaves of people. I'm like, I'm too scared to like there's too many, you know what I mean? So no, nothing in C. I think C is great. I think it's a cool sign. I think, you know, it's a cool idea and everything. Just yeah. That's my reason, that's why. Nothing against you guys.
I'm just glad you haven't seen me crash out because I do that like once a month in the text channels.
I've crashed out in other servers, don't worry. There's definitely been servers where I'm like, nah, I'm done. I can't take it. You know? And I end up just calling them all idiots. I'm like, you guys are dumb. Like, come on. Nah, it's okay. It's okay. Crash outs happen, you know? You're passionate. That's what being like
Yeah.
passionate's about, you know?
This so I'll just say recently I'm kind of going through this like soft break with like super challenging stuff right now. I'm not really engaged in like historically I've only really engaged in like tier fives and stuff that's been on the higher end
Yeah.
because I like I'll play some lower tier stuff for a little while, but I just feel like I could be working on bigger projects and I get like more satisfaction out of those. But recently, I've kind of been on a break from that. It's just been hard to commit to like one thing with how many things I'm just juggling outside of gaming.
Yeah.
So I kind of decided to take up this like little project of like auditing the 5-point games in CE, which is our
I see.
lower threshold. Yeah. So
Yeah.
I came across this one game that was listed at 5 points, and oh man. It was like one of the most mentally grueling experiences I've been through, and I was like, "This CE sucks. The whole system's broken. This 5-pointer is like, this is a hidden tier 5." I was mad. I was like, actually, like crashing out over it.
Yeah, you're like, you're like, what is this? Is this meant to be easy? I can't fucking do
I think I'm still like recovering from that incident. Like, I got through the game barely. And I'm like, I'm still like, I still haven't played anything hard since. It's been like 2 weeks. And it's just a little shitty shoot 'em up game. Like, I got it was like the most massive fraud check I've ever experienced in my life.
the most classic like place for that to come from. Just some of those like little
Yeah.
shoot 'em up. It's like, ah, yes, what the fuck? What is this? So
So
true.
I had my little crybaby moment, and I got through it, and I'll be moving on to the next one at some point, but right now I'm kind of just, enjoying a little bit of time away from it all.
Yeah, that's fair, that's fair. I guess, you know, this has been a great conversation, but what do you have any like future goals for? You talked about wanting to we talked about the podcast kind of aspect of things. If you want to talk about that, then feel free. Or like if you've got any other future goals for just your personal gaming or for CE or just whatever?
Yeah, so I'm not sure really like what I want to do for gaming. I kind of got like really interested in retro achievements recently. And I've been kind of just exploring some like older games, revisiting some stuff that I played when I was a kid and everything. And that's been a lot of fun, like just not being like constantly struggling against some large project that I'm working on for CE, some like game, just kind of like slowing down, doing something, you know, easier for a while. And that's pretty nice. So I'm not sure, like I have lofty goals of wanting to get, so CE has, we have site achievements for doing like kind of like meta goals, so to speak. And I've kind of thought that it would be neat if I could eventually get all of those. I'm the only person who's ever made those except for one achievement. So I kind of feel obligated. Like if I'm going to make an achievement, I should be able to like do it myself.
Yeah.
But I do feel like a little burnt out from like the big games that I've played recently. And so I'm not quite sure what my like end goals are for like challenging games at the moment. It would be cool to continue with the 5-point audit and you know, eventually get through every 5-point game and maybe get some points in every platformer on the site. For CE features, that's something that I've struggled with quite a bit over the past couple of years because I really want to dedicate more time to building up the site. But I work already like a pretty mentally taxing job, and my hobby involves being mentally taxed all the time with challenging content. So it's like, it's hard to find the time and motivation.
I have a weird
to get like, to like site features
relationship with my job. Like, because I'm a musician, right? I play music.
Gotcha.
But yeah, cool. I like love working, like doing music. But then sometimes you're just like so frustrated. It's like, oh, why can't this just go right? You know, you're sitting there. Yeah. It's like the technology is not working properly. My pedal board's dying. The crowd's kind of dead. It's like you just kind of get into the place like I don't want to be here right now. You know,
but yeah, I feel that pretty often.
Yeah, it's like a dream. I love music. Like I've always wanted to do music for like my whole life, basically. Right. So it's like that kind of thing. But then you're there, like, I love it. And then some nights are amazing. I'm like, man, I'm so fucking lucky. And then some nights I'm like, I don't want to go through. You know? Like, so I totally understand of, like, having a passion for something, but then it just kind of gets draining at points where it's like, you just don't want to do it at that point. Like, right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll tell you the hardest part about all of this, actually, is, like, when I started CE, I didn't really want to be like in a position of authority for it. Mm-hmm. But after coming back from my first break in 2021 and seeing the, like, you know, the total headcount of the group had declined, it was like I started to feel like an obligation to be this like constant pillar of motivation.
Yeah.
It's not really like that anymore because now the Discord has like some 1,000+ people in it, and there's several thousand people registered on the site. So I don't think I need to be that anymore, but almost just you for like the obligated legacy sake of it.
You like have to, yeah, like, you feel like you have to. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I feel like I initiated a lot of plans for the way that CE would kind of shape over time. And I know that a lot of people get something out of the system.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's kind of a feeling like I can't really get away from it. Even the times that I have stepped away from the system, I will take breaks sometimes for several months, even leave the Discord.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that time, I get like enough, you know, enough space to myself to feel like I can think clearly about how to actually move forward with some of the biggest problems. It's not like CE is a system that is, it's not like, Steam Hunters or systems that algorithmically define the difficulty of something. We are a judgment-based system and a comparison-based system. It's all about what your particular perspective is going into something. And there are so many moving parts with that, that it's very complicated, very challenging in and of itself to even make it work and feel balanced and make it feel fair. And I feel like one small like tinkering of even a niche aspect of the system might create this cascading problem that imbalances the whole thing. And now the integrity of the leaderboards is messed up, or people's desire to engage with a particular aspect is gone.
I see.
You know, whatever it is. So it's rough to kind of be in this position.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I see what you mean. Like, it's just a lot of work for like pre-medial stuff, basically. Sort of that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, look at it like, so have you played, well, talking about music, have you played rhythm games?
Yeah. I've played a fair bit of rhythm games.
Yeah, so rhythm's kind of like that thing where skill transfers much more pristinely than platformers, obviously.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, like,
because I find, I've played Dance of Fire and Ice a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I love that game. And, like, that kind of stuff where, like, it is maybe because I do music. It's like I just get into the flow of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so rhythm games is kind of like my bane in CE for the past couple of years. Not necessarily just rhythm, but there's been a few things. It's really conceptually this problem of skill transfer in general.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out how to balance that in CE has been such a nightmare.
I played Osu Mania for a bit. Yeah, I see what you mean, though. Just like,
so
do you find it hard to balance games that you aren't particularly like if there's like a genre that you're not really like into, do you find it hard to like really judge how hard those games are? Or
I've more often than not had to try and use an outsider's perspective to gauge how hard something might be for another person.
Yeah.
So, like being a curator of this system, and someone makes a recommendation for something, there's a few things that I have to kind of like keep in the back of my mind, whether or not the recommendation that they're making is going to have a negative impact on the leaderboards in whatever way. So the integrity of the leaderboards is kind of like my check for one.
Yeah.
So if someone beats what would quote unquote objectively be a tier one, an easier game, and they recommend it at 300 points, for example, there is almost an immediate negative impact to the leaderboards. And there's some complicated reasons why just getting more opinions doesn't always help the situation.
Yes,
there needs to be some like preliminary checks and balances to make sure that people can't just kind of exploit the system. Now, that doesn't mean that the system isn't without exploits. There are plenty of areas where things have kind of slipped through. And so I have to try and use the most consistent and unbiased system that I can to try and string balance between games of six different genres and many different skill sets, many different perspectives, etc. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
And I, to be honest with you, I think a lot of people do understand that, but the times when people don't, or they don't really understand like one or two small facets of the system that I'm trying to pay attention to on the side, I've lost my patience over the years at times with trying to explain everything that I'm seeing from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's at times made me short with people. And I've noticed that in myself, that I have changed over time working with this system. Like I am intrinsically not a people person. Like I don't really like interacting with people that much. So when I get like a lot of pushback on something, like why can't this be an objective, or why can't we do this for the system, it's tiring to have to re-explain the problems that I foresee those things having long term on the system.
I see what you mean.
I've stepped away from the system several times because I just don't really like what it does you know, to my mental health or to how I feel like I come across to other people. It takes a huge toll. And
yeah.
Some people don't see that.
Yeah, I imagine that can get frustrating as well then. Anyway, we should probably be wrapping up. This has been great conversation. I've really enjoyed this, like, just talking about things. I guess, do you have advice for, like, people wanting to, you know, get into challenge gaming and, like, CE and that kind of thing? If you've got any advice for, like, new players or anything, then...
Yeah, so, pretty simple and kind of an obvious thing is, don't make huge lofty goals right away. Start small. Play the games that look the most interesting to you. Don't stick to anything that's going to cause you to burn out quickly. And just recognize that all these challenges are is the willingness to put in the time. And you doing something slower than the average is not
that's completely
it's not
okay.
A negative against you. You should take that as a badge of honor because you were more persistent. Right? Like if the average completion time for Super Meat Boy is 40 hours and you take 600, then you, in my mind, you are one of the most admirable people
I think
in
I
the
have,
entire group.
I think I have 600 hours in Meat Boy.
I love that. Like persistence and consistency is the big thing, but make sure that you're still having fun. Take breaks often. Don't let gaming or whatever else derail, your mental health. So take challenges as something that's fun that you can take bite size at first, gradually over time, make larger goals out of it and, keep it fun. That's what the whole system's about.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. This has been really great. I think this has gone well.
Sure. If you want to have me back to talk about anything else, I'd be more than happy.
Hell yeah. This has been really good. I think learning the history of CE has been really cool. And I didn't know there was that much drama, but it's a fun discussion. Hopefully this was fun for you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, and I guess that's it then. I'll see you guys next time. Well, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for watching another episode of the podcast. This has been Jarvis, also known online as Jerry Dactyl, and I will be linking both the website and Discord to Challenge Enthusiasts in the YouTube description. If you like hard games and challenge hunting and all that kind of stuff, then I think it's really worth your time to check it out. It's a great site. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye.